It is a beautiful, sunny, cold, crisp winter morning, and here we are in the midst of preparations, Christmas preparations. We're in the midst of Advent. You know, we talked about this last week. Advent is a time of preparation, and we are on week two. Last week we talked about faith. Today we'll talk about peace. Not surprisingly, peace. Peace is that wonderful feeling, right? We've all experienced peace, right? It feels so nice when it happens. And it feels not so nice when it's not there. Reminds me of a man I'd like to tell you about. His name is Jake, and he was actually dying. His wife was sitting next to him by the bedside, and he says, he's pretty weak by now because the end is close. He says, I have something I must confess. And she says, no, there's no need. He said, no, I want to die in peace. I have a confession to make. I am so ashamed. I slept with your sister, your best friend, her best friend, and your mother. She said, I know. Now just rest and let the poison do its work. That may not have been the kind of peace that he was thinking he wanted. But peace is a wonderful, wonderful state of being. We sing about it every week. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. And yet, I think sometimes it's elusive, is it not? Pat mentioned the tragedies. There's just so much going on. It's hard to stay peaceful, I think. When we hear this news, always the San Bernardino and there was one yesterday in a place I don't geographically know where it was. It was an island somewhere. 27 people were killed. I read a statistic that said that there have been 355 mass shootings this year. That's more than one a day. So this peace can be very elusive. How are we to stay peaceful in the midst of all of this turmoil, all of this tragedy, this violence that's going on? It seems to be all around us. And here we are in the Christmas season. We all still have everything that we normally do to do. And there's more to do because it's Christmas. We have gifts to buy and, you know, all that sort of thing. So it can be stressful on top of that. Perhaps we're even less able to be peaceful this time of year because of all the activity, the busyness and stress that we have. There's just a lot of stuff that's going on. I have at my home I don't even know what you call it, a little thing that I put on my desk. It's blue, dark blue, translucent material, kind of a half moon shape, flat on the bottom. And on the front, it's inscribed, it says, nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul. A friend down at First Unity gave it to me. It's just beautiful. But it seems that sometimes it does. Things do disturb me. The sheer numbers of people that have died are disturbers. When I stop and think about what's going on when my peace is beginning to dissipate, there are really two main emotions that I feel, and there are others too, but I think the two that I feel mostly are fear and anger. Anybody relate? Yeah. And I really believe that sometimes anger is sort of like over another emotion too. So sometimes this is fear, sometimes this is hurt, sometimes they go together, but all of this is happening. I have never seen in my lifetime, I have never seen our country in this state anymore since ever. I was watching a news thing where the sheriff in some county in in California was urging people to, if they have a gun and a license, to carry it. You know? On the way over here this morning, there were people talking on NPR about classes that are happening that teach us how to protect ourselves. Or, I guess the strategy, if you find yourself in a place with a shooter, is you are supposed to run first. And if you can't do that, you're supposed to hide second. And if you can't do that, then you're supposed to fight. And then there are these survival classes that are going on. I actually took a self-defense class when I was in Jefferson City. What I did like about it is I do have some ideas about what I could do. I don't know if I could poke somebody in the eye. I just don't know if I could, but probably I could if I were in a situation that was life-threatening. I had that, these classes they're teaching. It's a different kind of class. It's not just, it's not for necessarily somebody grabbing you to, who's gonna rob you. It could be too that they're grabbing you or the tremendous amount of energy around the shootings and fear and just all kinds of stuff. Question came to me, and it is this: is peace merely an internal response to external circumstances? If we think about that, well, certainly it's easy to be peaceful when things are going nicely, you know. But I don't think so. I don't think that's the case. I think it is not true. Jesus tells us something to the contrary. I'm paraphrasing, but in Scripture he says, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives." So what that says to me is there's a different kind of peace, and it's not based on outer circumstances. It is something. Jesus says, "My peace I give to you." So I think we might like to have that. How can we do that? How can we have that kind of peace? Well, there's a story that Eric Butterworth wrote in one of his books. I think Universe is Calling, but I'm not sure. And it really stuck with me. I may have mentioned it before, so forgive me if I did, but I love this story, probably because as a parent I could relate. I was at the ER with my son several times. One time when he was doing his Dukes of Hazzard and crashed his bike and went over the handlebars, you know. But in this story, Eric Butterworth writes about his son who hurt himself. He fell. I can't remember if it was fell out of a tree or fell off his bike, something, but he hurt himself. And so Eric Butterworth, you know, gets him and takes him to the hospital. The child is very upset and scared and hurt and crying, and Butterworth is very, very upset too. He gets there and he turns the son over to the medical staff, and the child is still very visibly shaken and crying and all that. Butterworth apparently has a realization that he needs to get himself calm. He needs to be peaceful himself. So he leaves his son in the care of the medical staff, and he goes out in front of the hospital and sits on the curb and gets his wits about him and gets his thoughts quieted and peaceful and centered. And when he was not fearful anymore about his son's state of being, and he was calm, he went back inside. Medical staff told him that almost as soon as he went outside, the son was okay. He stopped crying, and they were able to treat him, and he was going to be fine and all that. It stuck with me because I think that's what we sing about every week. I think that let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. We are each responsible for finding and retrieving that peace in our life situations. So when we are talking about how we're going to do that, how to get that kind of peace, I'm going to share with you a piece of the Christmas story from Luke that isn't ordinarily included as part of the Christmas story. It has to do with a man named Simeon, which I think has, and it has a clue for what and how we are to hold on to this peace. So what's happened is Jesus has already been born, and it's been 8 days. And so tradition has it that the child is taken to wherever, the temple, I think, to be circumcised. That's part of their beliefs. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." So this man, Simeon, could die in peace because he has seen the baby, Jesus. He has seen the Christ. Now, if we look at that metaphysically, what does that say? It says that when we can see the Christ, when we can envision the Christ, then we can be at peace. We talked a lot last week about preparation and the different forms of preparation. So preparing in the outer. If we want to have this peace, if we want to do this peace, to have this kind of peace, to prepare, we can continue to go ahead and do all the outer things that we normally do. We can come and decorate our tree. We can buy our gifts and all that. And the third part that we talked about last week is probably the most important. It's the key to having peace and keeping peace. The third part is knowing that inner Christ. Share with you what Fillmore wrote. I won't do all of it, but to remind you, in Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, Charles Fillmore writes, "This Christ, or perfect man idea, existing eternally in divine mind, is the true spiritual higher self of every individual. Each of us has within us the Christ, just as Jesus had, and we must look within to recognize and realize our sonship, our divine origin and birth, even as he did." So we need to be like Simeon. We need to be looking within. When all of these outer circumstances happen, they can be frightening. Unity has a Facebook page that is a Unity Ministers discussion page. And so there's a minister on there who wrote that he had been listening to some show, and the woman was very passionate about all these occurrences that are happening, and this minister could feel himself getting pulled into the fear. And he stopped himself, and he said that he stopped himself and just reminded himself to breathe, just keep, take your focus and awareness away from what seems to be frightening, and breathe. When we remember that preparation of this third kind means that we regularly become still, that we regularly take time to align ourselves with that indwelling divinity. It doesn't change the outer, but it changes the way we are able to deal with it. Of what we say, "Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me." We can be peaceful. We can prepare for Christmas. We can be peaceful. We may, in that peace, in that alignment, we may get guidance to go to one of these courses. We may get guidance to volunteer somewhere. We may get guidance to stay home sometime. But we will get the guidance. And our actions will move our feet according to what we are guided to do. And we can feel peaceful about what it is that's happening with us. We don't have to be captives to fear or anger or sadness, if we can turn our thoughts, turn our attention, turn our awareness to the truth. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men, and that's in each and every one of us. Let's take an opportunity to practice that now. Allowing your outer eyes to gently close and allowing your body to relax and be supported by the chair. We become mindful of our bodies, the state that our bodies are in. Notice if there is tightness, if you're holding your shoulders tensed up. It isn't unusual to, in very stressful times, to begin to carry that tension in our body. So right now, we scan, mentally scan our bodies. We find those places that have tightness, that are discomforted, that are uneasy. And we purposely rest our attention there and imagine those spots melting, dissolving away. And we bring our attention to the breath. We breathe in and release. And again, breathing in and out. When we can come to this quiet place within ourselves, we realize that there is this moment, and it is always in this moment that we can feel peace, that we do feel peace. Allowing ourselves to have this time of quiet is like giving ourselves a big drink of cool water when we're so thirsty. We may not even realize the toll that it takes on our bodies and our minds to be under a lot of stress. But it does. And so we allow ourselves to be still, to go to that place within, to reconnect once again with the truth of who and what we are. We are divine offspring. And as we do so, we can begin to feel that normal and natural feeling of peace return. We know what Jesus was talking about when he said, "My peace I give unto you," because it is a very different kind of peace. This peace makes us feel safe and secure and that all is well. And as we know it, that has nothing to do with what may be going on in the world. This peace is the truth of us. This peace allows us to know that we will be given exactly what we need in the time we need to have it given. We remember that God is our source, and not just for external material kinds of things. God is our source for peace of mind. God is our source of joy. That divinity within us is that, is joy, is love, is peace. And so today, as we do each week, we pause in silence to simply be, to be the Christ in expression, to be peace in the silence. And as we have immersed ourselves in this quiet, in this silence, we can feel ourselves coming out of this time rejuvenated, re-energized. We come out feeling calm, peaceful. We come out knowing that we can always rely on this Creator who loves us more than we can even imagine. We can lean into the universe, into God, and trust. We can know that in our oneness, in our alignment, that all things are possible. And we can know that as we do this regularly, as we do this as a group, that we are creating positive, peaceful energy that mixes and adds to the whole consciousness, human consciousness, the mass of it. We are adding our part. And in that way, we are the light of the world. We are making a difference here where we are. And we are grateful. As Fillmore says, we are so grateful to realize and recognize this divine origin, this Christ self of us. It gives us hope. It gives us strength. We have faith. And we are peaceful. As we bring this time to an end, as we do each week, let us join together to pray the words that our Master Teacher Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.